Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
From A Few Good Men, I learned that less is more. That was going to be my style of acting, that I never wanted to get caught acting. I got such great accolades from that work that I then, as I've said on occasion, made a career out of doing nothing. And then this character of Moish Mazel comes along, and he's a blowhard, and he never shuts up. And I've never had better notices in my entire life. So, a career wasted. Everyone's got their thing.
Hey guys, and welcome to today's Fanatics Minisode. Yes, you heard Kevin Pollak's episode on stand-up comedy, and now we are here for the Minisode based on his podcast, My Mrs. Maisel Pod. Yeah, I'm here with Jake. What's up, Jake?
You know, I'm just chilling here, Claire. I'm excited to continue talking to Kevin because he's so cool, and he's going to go into his experience working on the show, The Marvelous Miss Maisel, and the experience of the podcast. So I'm excited to hear not only the why, but how he's executed this and who he's brought on to be in the podcast.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most interesting things on a perspective podcast or show is you do have the chance to review for what Kevin, he was a part of, you know, for five seasons. Before you and I just kill each other with interesting comments about what's coming up, we'll just get to what's coming up.
Let's just get to it.
And here's the minisode for My Mrs. Maisel Pod with Kevin Pollak.
All right, Mr. Kevin Pollak, please tell us why you enjoyed filming The Marvelous Miss Maisel so much that you absolutely had to start a fantastic podcast about it.
Yeah, so listen, I've been around a bit and I've done a lot of movies. I don't know the exact number, 98, but I will say...
a lot. You can round up at that point, I think.
That nine of them are quite good. Yeah. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel came at a point in my life when I didn't expect it to be the greatest job ever with the greatest writing and the greatest co-stars and the greatest crew and so on. And the experience of making the show was not only insanely rewarding, but it was a love fest. So while we were shooting the final season, because we knew before we started shooting the final season that it would be the final season. So I thought, well, while I'm with these people, I should talk to them about doing the show in podcast form. So I recorded about 30 episodes while we were shooting the last season. It's called My Mrs. Maisel Pod. It's marvelous, but it's called My Mrs. Maisel Pod, however you get your podcasts. And it's a rewatch. So each episode of the pod, I have one of my co-stars or one of the geniuses behind the camera talk about the episode, but also their own involvement in the show, how they, their entree into the Mrs. Maisel universe, how it began for them. And then, yeah, we break down the episodes in order of the five seasons of the series. Multi-award winning this series. Oh my.
Oh my indeed.
20 Emmys in the first 3 years. It's a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, the chance to spend time with all of these extraordinarily talented people talking about the behind the scenes, the making of, the doing of, the moments therein. And I'm excited to share, this is a breaking news story because it was solidified before I jumped on this here podcast with you, that we'll be doing live tour dates.
Oh, that's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
That I'll be announcing on my Instagram account, KevinPollock123. I don't know when this particular episode that we're talking on drops, but first couple of dates are the end of July in New York. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm also curious that you overlapped the final season with the first, essentially, 30 episodes of the podcast. What has it been like to have lived through something and then to sort of have that third person point of view in conjunction to looking at the art through the podcast?
Well, that's the thing. When you're doing it, you're in this love fest, as I mentioned, in the creative universe on a daily basis. You're in the trenches and doing the work and working as a team. We rolled up to almost 400 people, total cast and crew, and in these sound stages in Brooklyn, the Steiner Studios. And it was a universe onto itself. So to step away from that, to be away from that, and look back on the episodes and the making of them. And I have my guest on each podcast episode rewatch the episode that we're going to break down of the series before we sit down and talk about it. Of course, not just, you know, call from memory from so long ago, but actually spend time with it. And most of them make notes. And so we really do roll up our sleeves, and it really is quite a comprehensive share of not just what we're all seeing as fans of the show, but the nuances of making it.
I love it.
Retrospectively, what has most surprised you that you've discovered through the rewatch and through the podcast?
The ridiculous number of details that I thought I got and didn't. There's just so much going on in every frame of every composition of the show. The attention to detail by the department heads, by the show's creators and showrunners, Amy Sherman Palladino and Dan Palladino, and a production designer, wardrobe, set deck, everything, every aspect, the cinematography that, you know, our cinematographer won an Emmy the same year that Game of Thrones was up for their last season.
Wow.
You know, everyone's just a monster in every department.
And you didn't even mention the cast, who is remarkable as well.
And we haven't even got around to the endlessly award-winning cast. Yes. So all of the nuances of their performances, as well as everyone else's hard work, you do need to watch this particular show a few times to catch these details. So I would say the details, because it is, right? It's always in the details. Everything great is always in the details.
Yeah. I love revisiting our classic shows and the most popular shows right now. Like we had Angela Kinsey, who was doing this with the Office Ladies podcast. Sure. You know, it's fans want this. They want to see behind the curtain.
Well, that's the feedback from emails. I really, really enjoyed people's response. It's just extraordinary.
Any feedback that has really stuck out to you or been surprising or just very gracious?
Well, just the level of gratitude. You know, we're having fun and wanting to share this and wanting to entertain. But to hear the difference in people's lives that the television series made and now the podcast is making, to be a part of that process of, you know, helping people for the series get through the pandemic. And now, in the same way, laughter is the best medicine, to help hear people that are benefiting emotionally, psychologically, as well as sometimes physically from this entertainment. You know, that's one of the extraordinary rewards and joys of doing what we do, right?
Yeah. I love that. You bring this joy to people who the show means so much to them. Now, it's not over, and I think that's special for them.
It's not over, yeah, and that the series having just come to an end, I am hearing a lot of people say thank you for launching this within a week of the series ending, because I was not ready to say goodbye yet. So it has been quite an eye-opener in terms of that aspect for the audience, the sense of gratitude, but also a joy and celebration of what this show is and continues to be.
And you're celebrating the characters and the stories, but in a different way and through a different perspective because, you know, it hasn't been decades and decades the show is completed. It's just recently. So they've watched once, but now the rewatch, they're watching again and then listening to the episodes. And there always is something to uncover.
Yeah.
One thing that really struck me when you were talking about the different departments and like just the caliber of excellence that was sustained throughout the seasons by every department on the show is This is the common denominator amongst shows that are truly remarkable, I feel. Each department functions on its own, but everything functions as a unit. Would you agree with that? And can you describe a little bit about how the integration was between the departments in the actual filming?
Yeah, it's a great point. They are savants in their own individual world, be it production design or wardrobe, lighting, cinematography, set decoration. The details of the set decoration on this show were absolute bonkers. When the show ended, you know, they asked us if there's things that we, the cast, wanted from the sets, you know, and I had been eyeballing these period ashtrays that were stacked as a, you know, a group of four matching ashtrays that just reminded me of what my grandparents had in their home, you know, just these little touchstones mm-hmm. that while we were making the show helped me as an actor. And then as a fan of the show, every time I walk by them on the shelves in my home, I'm tickled for the rest of my life. So yeah, there were elements of these savants and their genius from every department that in design, they worked as geniuses individually. But your point is so on point in that they all worked in conjunction and tandem to make Mommy and Daddy super happy. In this case, Amy Sherman Palladino and Dan Palladino. We all lived for their joy of executing their vision. And that came from every department in front of and behind the camera.
Have you had a chance to have some of the writers on the podcast yet?
Yeah, writer and directors. And mm-hmm. I'll eventually have everyone. I've only done the first 30. And also, I'm having famous people on who just love the series.
Amazing.
Who have been reaching out to me over the years saying the most beautiful, loving, wonderful things. People you wouldn't think of maybe, you know, like Jake Tapper or Rich Eisen from the NFL Network, you know.
Yeah.
And also Paul Rudd and actors too, but just the most extraordinarily talented people within mm-hmm. their fields, having nothing to do with the series, who just want to mm-hmm. come on and talk about an episode.
So obviously, being an actor on the show, it had a pretty profound effect on you because you launched this podcast. You wanted to stay integrated yeah. and connected. What do you think about the work resonated with you, Kevin, as a person?
Well, everything. You know, I had started out as a stand-up comedian. I had no formal training as an actor. Not proud of that. Just happens to be the way it shook down. I went on hundreds of auditions to go from stand-up comedian to actor. Hundreds of auditions where it finally felt like they weren't just saying no. They were saying, hey, how about anyone but you is going to get this, okay? And to survive that rejection and to have been a part of so many films. But in the very early stages, 30 years ago now, A Few Good Men was the first time being part of a juggernaut of a success with some of the biggest stars in the known universe. And I was sort of the Where's Waldo within that cast as one of the leads of the film, but the one who the audience was sort of discovering still. I'd done a handful of films before that, but this was big. So to the point where I went from auditioning to getting offers after A Few Good Men. Mm-hmm. It was that big of a life change. So over the years, I've had a few of these extraordinary moments, and they last 3 or 4 months. And then if it's a movie that thrives on Usual Suspects, Casino, Grumpy Old Men movies, you know, there's generations of them. My better half, Jamie, pointed out, well, you know, she's all that means a lot to a certain group of people of a certain age, you know, stuff like that. So what happened with The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was I hadn't done a lot of television, and what I did was very limited. So to have this 6 years of making the 5 seasons, of having a family and a place to go and all of those things you've heard other actors in a TV series talk about, I just hadn't experienced. And then from A Few Good Men, I learned that less is more. That was going to be my style of acting, that I never wanted to get caught acting. So as a way of saying less is more, you're sort of throwing it away, or you're not swinging for the fences. And then I got such great accolades from that work that I then, as I've said on occasion, made a career out of doing nothing. And then this character of Moish Maisel comes along, and he's a blowhard, and he never shuts up. And so now I'm swinging for way beyond the fences, and I've never had better notices in my entire life. So a career wasted, a Clearly, I was meant to be clowning and being bigger than anyone else from the very beginning, and I blew it. Also, it's the most difficult work I've had to do. Amy and Dan like to do these 8-10-page one-ers, which means no coverage, which means it's a little piece of theater, which means you're not stopping from beginning of the scene till 10 pages later, which is not how things are shot. It's usually broken up into little tiny pieces that you shoot over weeks. And it's something I just hadn't done before, and it taxes abilities in every possible way to rise to a level that I hadn't been taxed or challenged. So in that regard, it was the most rewarding, on top of the accolades and the awards and all of that. Most satisfying, yeah.
Well, you're amazing as the character, and Blowhard or not, big or small, it completely works. I can't imagine anyone else playing that part. And I'm so glad that you did decide to carry over into the podcast.
Thank you.
And regale all the fans with more insight and more sort of like history and stories. Because you know what? That's interesting too. It's even the stories that over time you don't want those to be lost, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even the first episode, Luke Kirby, who played Lenny Bruce on the series, people just want to know what the hell this guy thinks and how he created this extraordinarily memorable portrayal. He shares a lot. You know, he really goes deep dive into the making of that character, as well as breaking down the first episode of the series. Yeah.
I love it. And so, Fanatics, you could check this out. It's the My Mrs. Maisel Pod with Kevin Pollak. And Kevin, I guess you're going to be doing this for quite a long time, huh?
Well, sure. Why not? And coming to a theater near you, the live version, yeah.
I love it. The third generation of the show.
Yes, yes. Why not?
Check it out wherever you get your podcasts, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks.
Claire, it's crazy how many people not only love the show, but are just like begging Kevin to dive into these podcasts and give them all the information about how it was made. Like, that's what people are craving now.
And not even dive into the podcast. They want to be on the podcast. Like, Kevin's like, everybody's calling me, texting me, blowing up my DMs.
Right?
Like, I get it. Because when you're a fan of something, you want to talk about it. You don't want it to end. When I'm a fan of a show, I go to the review articles every morning after the episode has aired. So this is great. Because obviously, there's not going to be a sixth season, at least not right now. Maybe someday down the line, for fans of the show, they have the podcast to enjoy.
Yeah, and it's something that will not only allow them to enjoy extra content, but then you could go back through and look at these episodes in a whole new way. So this is going to allow people who are huge fans of the show to almost like wash their brains in it and then re-watch it with just so much joy and interest. And I mean, and Claire, it sounds very, very cool to me.
Yes. And before you guys go, coming up next week on Fanatics, Regan Toe. Yes, you know her from the English dub voice of the red light, green light doll on the Netflix show Squid Games. She has a great social media presence. She's an amazing Latin ballroom dancer. And she is coming on to talk to us about baking chocolate chip cookies in this delicious episode. We will see you guys next Thursday. Bye. Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at @WeAreFanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, FANADDICTS. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.